Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Open your hearts.
Loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah. This podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious uncoupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
And welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners.
Woo! Baby, Andy, it's good to be back at the mic, ain't it, babe?
Is it good to be back in Los Angeles? There's a question mark. We're back in Los Angeles. Naomi was just in New York. Both of us were.
I was going to say, so was Andy.
Both of us. And Mabel.
Woo,
Mabel
baby.
Makes three.
I got to post, like, I was thinking of posting a carousel of Mabel Takes Manhattan because she did so much. She rode so many subways.
She loves the subway.
I know.
Mabel loves the subway. Listeners, you will not believe how excited she, when we would go down to the train, onto the platform, you, no matter what train, like, you know, the B would come past and we're waiting for the C, and she would, like, the doors would open and she would, like, run to it. And then, you know, when she would get to the end of her leash, obviously, you know, she's not on the train. And she looks back at me and she's like, why are we getting on the train?
The train is here. What is wrong with you guys?
I want to get on the train with 90% of people wearing masks and 10% assholes. I want to get. Did I tell you, Naomi, there was one night where so obviously, you know, we're in New York while Delta is surging and I'm like freaking out going on the trains. And there was this one night where, like, everyone on the car, it was such a nice ride, and everyone on the car had masks on. And then this, like, 20-something dude, I think pretty drunk and high, gets on, talking loudly into his phone.
Right.
And I give him the stink eye, which was my usual kind of strategy, was to give someone stink eye just a little bit. And then I would say 3% of the time, they put on a mask. Okay? But still, 3% of the time, the stink eye worked. We locked eyes for so long, and he just looked at me defiantly. He knew why I was giving him the stink eye.
Yeah.
And then the doors closed. He, like, puts his back on the thing, still loudly talking into his phone, and he pulls out a vape pen just to, like, just say, like, I'm going to spread my breath even further. But Mabel was so excited to go on the train, Naomi.
I know. She loved it.
So, wait. Why were we in New York?
Well, Andy, I was filming a set for season 3 of the Netflix stand-up show, The Stand-Up.
What?
Can you believe? 30 minutes of comedy. By yours truly. And I have to say, it was pretty good, I will say. Because it really felt like really rushed, and I felt like almost this out-of-body experience, and it was just such a rush to, like, you know, I don't know. It just, like, it all just happened so quickly. But then I thought that first set, I connected with a higher power. I locked in. I was present.
Yeah.
I focused on the work.
Can I just say something? When you said, like, it was pretty good, I don't know if you're just being modest or self-deprecating or what, because I would say that was one of the best, and I'm not just saying this because I'm your husband, but, like, it was one of the best stand-up sets I've ever seen.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Come
honey.
On, you do that. I've been so effusive. Like, you came out, and there, I don't know if they're going to keep this in there,
exactly.
But at least 45 seconds to a minute of the audience going crazy.
Well,
sorry, go on.
No, it was wonderful. I think it's funny because I remember when I finished that first set, I was like, yep, we got it. That was it. You know, I was riding high. And now here we are a little while later, and now I started thinking, I'm like, I just hope it translates to television.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I got a lot of applause breaks, but were they laughing or were they just clapping? I want people to be laughing. But I'm going to say this, okay? It was a perfect evening because, if nothing else, two women in the front row of the first taping were wearing Jubu t-shirts. Okay? Jubu t-shirts, the t-shirts that we made to both commemorate our love, my art, and our program. They were there. They had suited up and shown up. And that was gorgeous. I had never felt more beautiful. That's what I'm saying.
You did look beautiful. there were actually a lot of, this is funny, because the first set was so effusive, people were like, oh, you must have had a lot of friends there. That's not true. There was barely anyone we knew at that first taping. All the friends were at the second taping, which was like pretty good, but not as like crazy as that first taping. So
yeah,
those were strangers, Naomi, that were going crazy.
Now,
there was one CTQC person I met, Arden, who is very nice.
We love when
but
CTQC
I couldn't remember. But besides the two people, the wearing the Jubu t-shirts and the one couples therapy quarantined crew. Sorry, if you don't know, that's what CTQC is.
The CTQC did show up, okay, in person and also in spirit. There was support from the CTQC via Instagram DM, and I felt it. I felt that I was on the wings of an angel. Do you know what I mean?
You must lift have me been.
What were you singing?
Wind Beneath My Wings? What were you singing?
I think I was trying to sing Josh Groban. I don't remember. And now he goes.
So look for that. We'll talk more about this on the Patreon. Hey, speaking of the Patreon, Naomi.
Oh, yeah, baby.
By the way, if you could sign up for the Patreon. We do a little commercial in the middle of the show, but just to, since we mentioned it here.
You know,
we do have a Patreon. It mostly supports this show.
I mean, that's all it supports. It goes to just, you're out here, Andy. You're editing, honey. We're out here booking. We're out here making that time happen, honey. You giving us the good microphones, okay? And that's possible because the page. So to all our patrons, we love you. You are blessings to us. And if you would like to become a blessing.
If you would like to become a page pal.
A page pal. Patreon.com/couples therapy pod. All right. $5. Okay. One tier. One and done, babe. One tier, two bonus episodes. Usually me and Andy getting in deep, giving you all the tea, taking a peek behind the curtain of this business, of this relationship, of these animals.
Yeah.
You get it all.
Want to hear how I almost took the wrong dog home from the groomers? Well, you'll hear that.
You got to take it to the page.
Yeah. So $5 a month gets you that. We actually do put a lot of other bonus material on, like raw audio from other podcasts you and I have been on.
Yep, that from live shows.
Live shows. Other things that I can't mention here for copyright reasons, but you will see on the Patreon. And coming soon, I think we're going to try to do every once in a while, a Zoom hangout.
Yes, a Zoom hangout with the Page Pals. If you are a member of the Patreon, you'll get an email letting you know when we're going to do that. We'll send out a link and we'll just talk and hang for a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe 45 to an hour and just whoever wants to come through.
Yeah.
So that will be a beautiful way to connect.
Yeah.
But we'll keep you posted on that in the Patreon.
But enough of this.
I mean, my God, this is truly an iconic duo we have here. An iconic couple.
Yes.
I'm going to say it.
Yeah. I've heard of ID, Investigation Discovery, but the only ID I really want to know is iconic duo.
And that is today, lovers, okay, wedded partners, and the hosts of the podcast, Did You Get My Text? Patton Oswalt and Meredith Salinger.
Ooh,
come on. Do I need to give you credits? You better get with it, okay? I ain't got nothing else to say.
Of course, you know Patton from Justified. He played Constable Bob.
Wait, was he really on Justified?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were joking just because you've been re-watching Justified.
I've been re-watching Justified because it was calming my anxiety. In the run-up to your taping,
mm-hmm.
I had so much anxiety for am I going to get Delta? Is this going to happen? What's going to go on, And so I just started re-watching Justified, and it's what a great rewatch. But yeah, Patton plays Constable Bob.
Well, then you can listen to Constable Bob's new podcast with his wife, Did You Get My Text? You know what? Enough dilly-dallying. Pat and Meredith were so wonderful. This was such a fun chat. So you know what? I'm going to be the one to say it. Roll it! You know, people saying the tagline is a great litmus test for where they're at emotionally in this given moment.
Yeah.
And open so, your heart, loosen test. Your butt. It's time for okay.
Oh, I was feeling that 80s pop.
It's time for, yeah, I was doing Madonna.
Oh my God,
open
wait a minute.
Your heart,
I was just I
loosen your butt.
Wait, guys. It's
what, baby?
I was just interviewing Richard Marx, and you know what this fits perfectly into? Ready? What? Open your heart. And loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy. Oh my God, it fits perfectly into white right here waiting for you.
That's right. That was good, baby. I bet we could do it for every song.
Yeah.
Is that from the Karate Kid soundtrack?
Right here waiting for
you? No. You're thinking of I'm a man who will fight for your honor.
Yes.
Right Here Waiting was its own smash thing. I don't think it was on a soundtrack.
Okay,
it all mixes together in my head because it was just on the radio when I was a kid. So
yes,
if I was in the car with my mom, I would hear all the soft rock hits of the 80s.
Soft rock hits. Okay, Patton and Meredith, this is very exciting for us.
This is very exciting for us.
I love that, to really be sharing the excitement, not having to manufacture it for
yes,
the both of
yes.
us.
Yes, yes, no.
You know, that happens so often. And so that's great.
How much of this industry is manufacturing excitement for something?
Well, hang on. Right now, all your past guests are like, are they talking about us?
They know who they are.
They sounded very excited to have us. All right.
Anyway. The ones who did not give it back, they know who they are.
Okay, good.
So... you guys, how was your 4th of July? Did you do anything fun for America?
Our 4th of July was very chill. Very chill.
Did we do anything?
We kind of did.
Oh, I know what I did. I sat out on my balcony and listened to my neighbors play their Christian country rock and scream, "Dude! Stacy, give me some gum! Hey, you do the slip and slide." There were like 30-year-olds next door with red solo cups flying the American flag, all doing CrossFit in the backyard.
Can we?
That's what I listen to.
Patton, you've lived out here for a long time. Meredith, you grew up here, right? What is? Yeah. Why is this city like rural New Jersey? Like, what is it about?
No, it isn't. Just my neighbors, I think.
Oh, no. We are. No, this. Okay.
Naomi did a show in North Hollywood on Friday night, and it felt very like Patterson. It felt very like
Patterson with a touch of Newark. Okay,
wait,
there was
Newark
where energy.
Where in North Hollywood were you?
Not far up, like Lancashire, like on Lancashire, sort of by where the car dealerships
are.
We can
bleep this. It was the Comedy Chateau, if that's a
yeah. Oh boy,
it was real.
I don't know if you've seen that map that's going around where someone did what the New York boroughs are, but for L.A.
Mm-mm.
It's like Beverly Hills, that little strip, that's Manhattan.
Okay.
And then Los Feliz and Silver Lake is Brooklyn.
Aha.
And then I forgot what the valley was.
Everything else is Staten Island.
Everything
no,
else.
No, actually the far west valley is Staten Island. But not the whole valley. The rest
okay.
of the valley. Oh, where we are is Queens.
Like, oh, you're in Queens.
We all live in Queens, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Before we started rolling, though, we were talking about weddings and like how to decide who to invite and how many people to invite and how do you make it so that you don't have to invite every single person you may have had
yes.
a conversation with. And as again, you guys too, you know, like you guys have a lot of friends like over the years of just living and people who know you and like, you know, you met or maybe they even feel like they know you better than you feel like you know them.
How we got married so late in life, like so late. I was 147 years old when I married Patton. And when you get married that late, your parents don't really have a say of who they can invite
right.
to your wedding.
But it also helped that we had gotten to that age where you realize, and you don't take it personally, that there are certain phases of your life where you have a circle of friends, and then you don't have that circle of friends anymore. You just either, you all evolve beyond, you know. So we'd reached this phase where we had kind of fallen into nice, tight little circles of friends, that we were able to invite, and it ended up being kind of perfect.
Well, you know? That being said, there were some people who weren't invited who were very upset about it.
Oh no.
That's what I'm worried about.
That's what you're worried
about. Because our list, because we started planning our wedding 8 years ago, seven years ago, something
Andrew.
Like that.
Whoa.
And so it's changed. I mean, there are literally four or five different spreadsheets saved where
oh,
every time we're like,
God.
Oh, I think it's time for us to start planning again. And then suddenly it, like, and like we go through and like, well, this person no longer, we're not friends with them anymore, I guess. Like, and then like, and then there's like a bunch of like people waver in and out of like that, like close friend list.
Yeah. We went from like 300 people down to 100. And how many people did we have? 150 or something like that.
I think it was just under 150. It was manageable. Good. It was actually kind of nice. Because it was a good space.
It was the perfect size.
You know, yeah.
It was the perfect size and the perfect people. But it definitely, had we had the wherewithal to invite more, we could have doubled it. I could have. I have so many friends. Yeah. Patton has like one friend. I have
That's so 299
friends.
Just that my friends are all weirdos that half of them, if I don't invite them to things, are like, thank you.
Right.
Because they're not very social. So they're totally cool. Not like they'll join me at the New Beverly for our eighth screening of Tulane Blacktop. But if I have a wedding, they're like, hey, can I maybe not go? Or you know what I actually have? I have a lot of friends, and this is actually very strategic, and I'm guilty of this too. They want to be invited to everything and have to go to nothing. But they want to be able to go, well, I was invited, but I couldn't go. That's what they want.
That's Andy.
So there were a lot of people that I invited that I knew wouldn't come. So I'm like, this is actually a free spot. Let's just send them the invite. They're not going to show up.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
I mean, we're thinking about doing it out here, which should cut down on like my parents' elderly Jewish friends from coming to the wedding.
Right.
I'm fingers crossed.
Right.
Also, when you get married at 147, most of your parents' elderly Jewish friends are already gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I just had. I had my parents.
I was trying to be funny then, not somber. Sorry.
No.
That was supposed
I mean,
to be
accurate.
But no.
Very
but
accurate.
I'm joking. That was.
I had like three of my childhood friends from Virginia came out. My parents came out, and that was kind of it. Ooh. Everything else was like, I'm not going to fly people out here.
Yeah,
well, I'm sorry, I'm here, so all my friends were here.
Right, so you have everybody. Yeah. That's why you have 299 friends, because they're all
right,
here.
Right, my college friends flew in. Yeah. But otherwise, most people live here.
But I had some aunts and uncles that I didn't invite, where I'm just like...
You have aunts and uncles?
Yeah, I have some aunts
what?
And uncles, but...
You
I'm
do?
So,
okay, this is why I'm we so... do this podcast, so that people can learn about their partners.
Wait, honey, really?
My mom had three brothers. One has passed away. One has... become beyond right wing. He was like a Trumper before there was Trump. Mm-hmm. Like he's basically an off the grid weirdo. And then the other one is like a gross Trumper.
Oh wait, do you think anyone of these people are listening to this? Because that's calling people out. That's not...
I would be stunned if they owned computers. I would be stunned if these people owned computers.
That off
and
the
then
grid.
My dad has a sister who lives in Arizona who at the time was going through some crazy stuff, and I don't know. We're not the Oswalds and Runfolas are not a close knit clan. We just sort of we spawn and then we spread, and we don't really stick together.
Well, wait, is that
I
like...
have a very close knit family, very close.
So that's what I was going to ask. Was like, is that like, Patton? Did you start to find like for Naomi and myself? We like our parents, but we're not like super close to them, and we found more connection with our friends. Than we did with our family.
I love my parents, and I'm so close to them, but also my parents are at an age where it's hard for them to travel. So I think them coming out for our wedding was their last trip out here. Like, it was unspoken, but, like, we're not doing this again.
Yeah.
And my parents live here and are so flipping cool, and I'm with them basically every Sunday, and...
Really?
Alice is obsessed with them, and, we have a great, happy...
Tell me about this family affair. It's so foreign to me, but that's what I really want
to know.
Oh, my God.
I have the best parents.
Always? Like, were you guys all... Like, even when you were younger? Because you started... Like, you were acting as a teen. So I feel like...
I started when I was eight.
Eight? Okay, well, honey, I imagine it was, like, a very dramatic time. Like, a teen, like, a young actor, you're, like, running around, going to these auditions. Did I get it? Did I not? Now I gotta go be on set with these adults who might be creepy. Like, that's a lot. For a young
gal. Yeah, but
it
didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like that. It just felt like, you know, some kids play soccer after school. Like, I just wouldn't go to school and I'd go to the set. So it didn't feel like, I still had all my best friends. I still hung out with all the kids in my neighborhood. I handled it pretty well. My parents are normal people with real jobs, and they're real professional people. And this was just, something I wanted to do that they supported. It didn't feel crazy.
Okay. Yeah. It's also, I assume, normalized out here. Whereas, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and it's just like, what? No, that's not a thing you do.
Right.
Here, it's like, yeah, obviously, this is a possibility, and probably an attainable possibility if you're photogenic and have charisma.
You don't even need that much charisma.
Oh, but when you have it in spades, it's just given to you. Left. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
But you guys are like friends. No, you and your family, you hang out every Sunday. You're like hanging out, talking about life.
I guess what Naomi's trying to get at is, what is it like not to have emotional damage handed down to you from the generation above?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit. I mean, a tiny, tiny bit of when you open the door when you're home from college and your mom gives you that look, and the look means, oh my God, you're so fucking fat. What happened to you? And you say, Mom, I know what you're doing. And she goes, what? I didn't say anything. And I'm like, I know what you're saying. She goes, I didn't say anything. And you're like, I know I'm fat. You don't have to tell me. I didn't say anything. You gave me the look.
Oh God. Yikes.
That's very real, very accurate, but my mother would say it.
My mother would say it too, but she'd also give you that horrible look that said it all.
I know. She's very much like, she'll give a look, and then just in case you weren't clear what that look was, why did you get fat? And it's like becomes that. And the best part is, she likes to phrase things as a question, as though she's giving you time to account for your failings.
Yeah, and then she says stuff like, you know what I've been doing lately is walking and eating really healthy. That just is great for your figure. And she'll just start saying things thinking that you'll not get what she's trying to say, but actually be like, oh, that sounds like a great idea, Mom. Right. I'll do that with you. Yeah, no. Yeah, there's some emotional damage. Just a little, though.
Wait, Meredith, were you raised Jewish?
Yeah.
Are you still Jewish?
Of course.
Go to temple Jewish? Or like me, where I fast on Yom Kippur, and that might be the limit.
I went to temple when I was little. And I went to all my friends' bar and bat mitzvahs and loved them. And my parents, we have Passover at my parents' house, but it's like funny Passover. Because my dad is like, I want to tell you what my dad is like, but the examples I'm going to use maybe aren't the best examples, but in the old days they used to be. My dad is a mixture of Dr. Huxtable and Chevy Chase from Caddyshack. He's not Bill Cosby.
Right. Yes.
Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah, sure.
And so he's a jokester, and we'd have
he's
Passover.
Like Woody Allen and Bill Cosby. Just too funny.
Right.
Just jovial. They're fun. They're fun guys, all right? Anyway, go ahead.
So we have Passover, but we make it fun. Why on this night do we leave, the four questions? He did the four questions from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. He's like, what is your favorite color? Yellow. No, blue. Oh, I don't know if you know that movie, but he would just do funny things.
But he did them in Bill Cosby's voice.
With the pudding pop and
what's your favorite pudding pop, Rudy? As the only black person, I felt I should take it on. But it was very good. Okay, totally pivoting away, because I'm so curious, because you guys talked about, you've joked about it, getting married at 147. But my question is sort of like, when you do meet somebody older, when you're like, I am settled in sense of this is who I am. This is my routine. This is how I approach life. I imagine it's like you either click or you don't. Like, for instance, I think Andy and I, we met in our mid-20s, in New York. We're like, what is comedy? Let's find a dream. We felt like we were really kind of growing up together. Aww. But y'all were already grown. You know what I mean? You had a child.
He was. Yeah, okay. He was married. He had a child. Yeah. He'd done all that. And I still was living the life of a swinging single.
Had you ever been married?
No.
Okay. So this is your first. Okay. So tell me everything. Tell me how you knew. As a grown woman, 147 years young, out in these streets, how did you know?
Because, Well, first of all, I had dated everyone on the planet. I had so many fabulous, crazy adventure boyfriends. Never anyone you'd want to bring home to your dad, but definitely fun adventures. So I think I got all that craziness out of my system. And then I was single for a really long time. And I was always with my friends and their kids. And I'm like Auntie Merrick's extraordinaire. I have like tons of kids in my life that I'm obsessed with. And I was super just loving my life. And then Patton and I met. Well, we met over Facebook on a text thread. A friend of ours invited us to a dinner party. And he didn't end up going, but it was on a text thread with like 12 people. And the day after, I was like, great dinner party, dude. You missed the best fucking lasagna. And he happened to be online at the same time. And we started DMing each other back and forth. Oh. And then we continued that for like 3 months, 2 hours every single night.
Oh, wow.
So I got to know him. I wasn't like trying to date him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to date me. We were just talking like real people. And then we like fell in love. And then I was all freaked out, like, what happens when I meet him in person? I'm probably not going to like him because I know me and I hate everybody. And I met him and I was, you're so cute.
But what was, like, was there a moment, and also, two questions. You were both public personas.
Yeah.
Like, you knew each other, I assume, as public personas before you met.
And We knew of each other. I mean, it wasn't like we had a couple of connections friend-wise on the outer orbits of our friend groups, but we didn't really know, like, you know, if you're saying public persona, I'm a comedian who tells jokes, but it wasn't like I was being that, you know. Not till recently have I gotten really personal, and you've never been that person. You're a working actress. It's not like you're, you know, here's
no he
I
means
am, man.
No, you know? But you see somebody on camera,
oh,
and
yeah,
you think
yeah.
you know them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But truthfully, no, he hadn't really seen much of my stuff, and I certainly hadn't seen much of his stuff. Only once I like started talking to him online was I was like, who's this guy? And then I kind of like looked him up, and then as I started to like him more and more, then I like did the deep dive and like watched some of his comedy specials. Mm-hmm. And then when I like thought I liked him, then I watched Young Adult, where he had a sex scene with Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Because I wanted to see what's up. What is up with that? Yeah. So no, we didn't really know.
I think the reason that we clicked so well, also beyond all the other good stuff, was when you get to it, it's a function of our age. When you get to a certain age, you're like, I've gone through all the years of, who am I? Right. I got to figure out. Now we're just like, well, we know who we are. It's either going to mesh or not. And it's not like true romance is a lack of constant drama. And I think a lot of people throw away really good relationships because they're so used to drama and strife and waves crashing against the rocks that when it's actually calm and smooth, they think that, oh my God, this relationship is dying. It's like, no, you guys actually found a groove. Most people can't do this. Don't give this up. What are you doing? So, you know, we found that very quickly, which was, I thought, great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, to find that groove quickly. Yeah, that's what I definitely agree with you. And I feel like I was always that kind of person, like, but at the same time, I like realized, I'm like, any actual relationship I had, like a real relationship, we were together and not, you know, a hookup and then I pined for 6 months. It was like, it started out chill. Like, you and I were friends. And then it was like very easily where you were like, you want to be my girlfriend? Like, after.
We were friends into, it was very 1950s. Yeah. I did ask her out. I asked her out for a milkshake over Facebook.
Oh, this for is, the love oh of God.
Facebook. That's crazy.
I said milkshake and not malted, okay? So it's not as it's not as 1950s. But it was that, but then it was drama for a while.
Yeah.
For really? Like 6 months.
Well, I didn't know better. I didn't know how to just have someone in my life. I really also did not. And I'm better now in general, but like I don't do well with the in between. Like when I don't know where we stand and I don't know, you know, how into me you are. Like I just could not take it. I really couldn't. And I would be that way in friendships too. You know, or like one of the reasons why I was very wary about even going all in as an actor and a comedian was because I was like, I don't do well with the in between. And that's all this business is. And can I do it? And
but also, it could be a function of you having been in your 20s. My relationships in my mid-20s all ended because I don't know what I want to do. And you know, like, it was all that stupid drama, which
he was, like, engaged to 97.
I was engaged once.
You were engaged three times.
Not true.
Yes, it is.
I was engaged in college.
Yep, then that's one. Then you got engaged to Michelle.
Which, who I married. Right. I didn't break that engagement.
And then you got engaged to me. Okay. That's three, buddy.
Right, but you're talking about, you're saying three as if I was engaged and broke those three off.
That's what I thought. You were like,
yeah, I'm like, no. It's insane. But what I'm saying is, that's really miraculous that you guys withstood that, because a lot of people in their mid to early 20s, no matter how deep the love is, you don't survive the changes that people go through, whether or not they're in a relationship or not. So that's pretty impressive.
Thank you. I'd like to say, think so myself. I always, often I will. I'll be like, can you believe we got through this? I mean, especially because it's like, think about it. The fact is, had he simply put, I lived in Harlem. He was in Greenpoint. That's already a hurdle. Okay. Wow. That's already a long distance relationship. Meredith, have you been to, how much New York time?
Three trains.
I've been to New York a lot, but just to visit, like in short little bits.
Well, Greenpoint and Harlem, I mean, yes, three trains.
It is Santa Monica to Pasadena.
Yes.
Okay, that's far.
It's a trip.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And how far north of 110th Street were you?
135th.
Okay.
So you got to take that local. You got to take that local.
Yeah, that's a trek. That's a trek.
You guys are cute. How long have you been doing this podcast together? You're both really cute. And you seem to like each other.
We do still like each other. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. 2.5 years. I mean, this started as a live show in New York in 2014. So
wow.
Yeah.
We've been doing it since then, in a way.
And then podcast 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2018.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, we still do like each other. And it is like kind of wild given that, you know, you had more relationships. Like, you had long-term girlfriends before we met. Whereas my longest was 8 months.
Yes.
I didn't know.
But I also did a thing starting in college where I started mixing relationships with, like, creative projects. And so, like, my girlfriend and I were in a band together. And there was a lot of stuff like that. And it's weird. I mean,
all your songs, Muskrat Love and Keep Us Together, the other stuff was amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
glad you found someone now, but you guys were great together.
Oh, thank you. I didn't really want to bring it up. I'm glad someone else did.
I knew Meredith wouldn't recognize you without the captain's hat. So.
I'm Kiki D, yo.
But I'm kind of curious how you guys navigate that, because it's something we've had to actually like talk about and talk about in like our actual couples therapy about like how to navigate the creative stuff, the romantic personal stuff, and like the business stuff. Because like I think the first two are somewhat navigable, and then that third thing, because Naomi and I come at this business from much different places, also like much different places of power, I think is sometimes difficult. I'm just kind of curious about how you both have tried to figure that out, how you've navigated.
Yeah, and the decision to do this pod and stuff. Your guys' pod.
That was Meredith's whole impetus. I was not eager to jump into the podcasting game. Not that I love podcasts. I was just like,
No.
What do
at
we
the
have
beginning,
to talk about, you know?
No, at the beginning of coronavirus, he was supposed to go on tour as a comedian, like a million cities and a million airplanes, and all that got canceled because of coronavirus. And then he was filming a show, and that got canceled, like that shut down during coronavirus. And so we were both kind of like twiddling our thumbs, and I was like, we should do a, oh wait, it didn't really come up, honey, until you had done that online, Patton had done like an online comedy show.
Oh yeah.
And halfway through, he was telling a story.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just, doing online comedy was really difficult for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he was doing an online comedy show, and during it, he started telling a story about me that was pretty funny. And then he wanted me to come down and show people this thing in the story, and I did. And then I just ended up sitting with him, and then all the comments were like, you guys should have your own show. You should have a podcast, da-da-da-da-da. And, like, we kept getting these things. And I was like, okay, well, we've got nothing else going on. Let's do that. And he's like, no. Yeah. And then finally, when coronavirus ended and everybody's out in the world, he's like, let's do it. I'm like, okay.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
So for you guys, but, I mean, you were already kind of, like, established. So was there no real... I mean, not just for the podcast, but for anything, where you guys are both living your lives, doing creative things, acting, doing comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, she'd been in the business since she was 10, so she had really established, like, a rhythm, you know, what she wanted to be doing with her with her career, had gone through career phases and had, you know, and I was still relatively young, so there were, but what? We're very, very... I mean, relative to what, you know, I started 10 years after you started, so you had...
So you were relatively old.
No, I'm saying that I meant young in terms of career length and in terms of experience. I just didn't have...
Oh, there you go.
The experience.
Like more novice.
Oh, my God.
You mean there novice, you not age.
Nicely done. Listen, oh, my God.
Like amateur is what you're trying to say.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, got it.
So there was that. Like, so, again, a lot of those hurdles, we didn't really have to navigate too many of them because we had been doing our own thing for a long time. You know?
Yeah.
We've been producing our own stuff.
But the problem is, you're asking how we navigate it. The first two times we sat down to do the podcast was super invigorating and exciting because it was like new. And then the third time, right before we started, we had the gnarliest fight in the world.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I wanted to strangle him and murder him. And and then he was like, I'm done. And I'm like, sit down, shut the fuck up. Let's do this. Be professional. God damn it. And we started the podcast. And I burst into laughter at the beginning of the podcast.
Because like,
I'm like, everybody, we literally had the hugest fight just now. We did the podcast. It was hilarious and amazing. And then afterward, I looked at him. I go, do you see why I said what I said before? And the fight started right up again. And it was a horrible day.
Right up?
Did it end?
It was almost like the cliche that you hear about like morning news teams where they're like, I swear to God, I wish I could stab you in the throat. Good morning, Sarasota. You know, like literally we got to switch back into these nice, sunny.
Do you guys fight like that before? Like, do you?
We have sometimes, like, more so because, like, we do these episodes, we don't, right? Because we usually have, you know, knowing we have a guest, we both are kind of like, let's both just be in a good space for our company. And so we'll be good. But when we do our Patreon episodes, which are just us, oh, we have totally been fighting before. And then the thing, Andy, like, I can turn it on. I'm literally like, I can be mad at you. And then it's just like, all right, I got to get on stage. Right? And I'll just do it. Whereas that's not Andy's vibe.
And she's a stand-up. I'm a writer. So,
You want to live in the emotion, man.
And he wants to be in it. And then I'd be like, pivot. And then, of course, he's like, you're a sociopath. And I'll be like, no, I know we have something to do.
I'm professional.
Yeah. I'm like, we got to just do this. And, like, I also much rather, like, there's something about we could stay in this anger and then it'll just get worse, right? Like, I'll just kind of, like, it'll boil over. So I'm like, we might as well pivot because we in one of these fights where neither person wants to say they're sorry or say it was on me. So we better pivot because if we don't pivot, we're going to be sleeping in separate places. And our apartment is not big enough for that. So it's like, you have to.
On stage, I can turn it on if I have to be on stage. I'm just saying, for a podcast, I want to be can record it whenever. I don't want to have to, like, pivot from, like, being furious.
We can't record it whenever. You know I only have 1 good hour a day of energy.
That's right. When you carve out that time, you got to get it done. And if you were fighting, get your shit to... Are we allowed to... I curse a lot.
No.
Okay, absolutely. Good. But seriously, get your shit together and let's do this thing. That's...
But so, Meredith, why you picked the fight back up? You had such a fun episode. You picked it back up.
I didn't pick it back up. I just said, I'm always right, right? And then he's like... nah, nah. So... And the thing is, I am always right, so. But I am. Like, he's just trying to be funny right now and be like, no, she's not. But I am, and he acknowledges it, and he realizes it. And if he only, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Do not give the no, you don't face.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm right.
I'm giving you the gas face. I'm going back to early 90s rap. I'm in third base. I'm giving you the gas face.
Okay. Anyway. How do we navigate it? I'm always right. He just has to follow suit. That's all.
Patton. Well, that's easier. That does make things easy. Because then you just make all the freedom decisions.
Freedom from choice.
Exactly. Yes. You make all the decisions.
Yes.
That's so funny, though. But like, but at the same time, you know, we were joking before because you're like, we're always 5 feet apart from each other, you know, in the house.
Yeah.
And and then to choose to have to do something where you're – because you're in the pod, you guys are looking at, like, old text messages. It's like you're minding the relationship. I think for us, if we didn't have guests, I don't know if we could have sustained it. Because it's like how – it's that balance between – and obviously I talk about Andy on stage, but not as much. But this idea of, like, okay, what's us? What's for us? And then what is
– for public consumption.
Yeah, like what's the comedy? What's the fun?
And what's
a good question to figure out? Yeah.
Right now, it sort of feels like us is us, and the us for the show is also us, and there's no kind of, I think we're pretty open, and yeah. I don't think we've had any issues that are not shareable.
Right. I think the only time we've ever, and it wasn't even all that, it's like if we're talking about either someone we know, we'll catch ourselves and go, this is someone we know, but we won't name them, like, but that's been the only ones. And then those are like minor, very minor.
Yeah. I think we've stopped ourselves from calling out people in the business. I think that's where we drew the line from ruining our careers.
Well, you stopped me. Right. Me, I love to burn a bridge. And so I was like not on purpose, but I'm like, because I guess to me, it's like if somebody does something like bad, they know they did it. Like, I'm not going to editorialize. I'd be like, hey, this were the facts as they were. And my theory for talking shit is, would I say it to that person if I saw them? You know what I mean? Or like, would I like scurry and run away? So I feel like when you come to quote unquote talking shit, it's kind of like, what are the facts of the situation? Lay out the facts of the case. And if it was what it was, then that's what it was. But it's like, you know, so that's how I try to be. But then Andy's always like, Naomi, stop it. Like, I had a whole thing where he goes, I'm cutting this entire thing out. You really shouldn't do it.
I shared a manager with someone who very famously would burn bridges, like, just hugely. And the line we had about her was, she'll burn that bridge when she gets to it. She was just reliably would always burn every bridge she could get to. So
I think it's funny. Like, I don't want to actually, but I think the impulse is because I feel such a lack of control in my career. The only thing I can kind of control is my no, right? Like, I can't control whether or not, like, you want me for something, if I'm right for this or that, if I get this job, if I get whatever. The only thing I can really control is, like, if somebody sucks, saying, I'm not working with them again, or I don't like the way they treat me. So I think sometimes I maybe lean into that a little more than I need to.
I think I remember John Waters saying the best goal for your career is to eventually get to a point where you never have to work with assholes. Like, you only have to do the work you want to do. It has nothing to do with money or fame. It's all I have to do is work with people that I love. Because there's a lot of people that are very successful, but they've got to grit their molars a lot when they're doing what they're doing. And that's not success. That's not actually living a life. And so when you can do, you have the wherewithal to go, I don't need to do that. Yeah, but it's like all this money, not worth it. Like, that's the best feeling.
It's one day. Best. One day I'll get there. I'll get there.
Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back with some advice questions.
Ooh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us, mostly spilling the tea, and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back with Patton and Meredith Henny. We have learned a lot about their dynamic, and now they're going to help you handle your scandal.
Can I ask one? Can I pick up on one final thing before we get into
advice? You have to pick it up.
Because I was curious, Patton, you did not grow up Jewish. Correct.
What? No. Yeah. No. I
as you pull off, you pull a yarmulke off your head. Yeah. And you're like, what
excuse me, sir. Not only did I not grow up Jewish, I grew up like the most lapsed, barely trying Catholic on the planet. Like just suburbs, nothing.
Yeah.
I was kind of curious about if there was any kind of like how do you take to Judaism? How do you like Passover? How is?
Can I just. Just heat, whatever. But Alice, our daughter, she loves it. She went to her friend's bat mitzvah, and then she was all into it. And then at Passover at my dad's house is so fun, and she loves it. And we do Hanukkah at our house. We light the candles. Mm-hmm. We do the whole thing. And then she was talking with one of her friends who's Jewish, who's having a bat mitzvah, and she's like, "Mom, May and I thought it would be really cool if we have a goth mitzvah and they want to do like decorate it like Beetlejuice, like have the whole thing like,
God.
And so she's like, so can I have a joint bat mitzvah with her? Like, she's so into it. I'm like, I didn't even have a bat mitzvah. Right.
What? Yeah. We gotta get Alice into Hebrew school. This is very exciting.
I said, Alice, you're going to have to go to Hebrew school. Band. You don't just get the party.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was growing up, I read a lot of Jewish writers like Chaim Potok and Harlan Ellison and, Bathsheba Singer and Leo Rostin. So I knew so many Yiddish terms also because I just loved old comedy. And Yiddish is such an amazing expressive language. Even if you don't know what they're saying, you can get it in context because the words are so perfectly, you know, he's fablange and he's eating out my chederim from aggravation. Like, you know, I know what they're doing. Yeah. And so I went to a very bland suburban half redneck high school, and there were like two Jewish students, Joel Berg and Linda Strauss, and they both thought I was Jewish because I knew all the Jewish Yiddish slang for things, because I would read I'm Looking for Kadak and The Chosen and stuff like that, so I knew all that stuff, so it was very easy for me to take to the whole Seder and Passover. It's great. I mean, it's a fun
community
party.
The thing about Judaism it's just being good menshi people who are loving and family oriented and community oriented and caring about. I think Jews are it's very much like an Italian family, kind of. You're like, come, let me feed you, let me love you, let me give you. And that's what Judaism
feels like. Well, I mean, that's the
like.
Basis of all religion is just people getting together and checking in once a week. That's really why religions are for any religion. And that's why I remember back in the day when Obama was running for his first term and they found the footage of Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who was saying all this very, you know, edgy stuff about, you know, goddamn America, whatever. And then Sean Hannity went, and that was the pastor that Obama went to every Sunday for 20 years. And every evangelical was like, well, hang on, he went every Sunday? Great, I love him. Because all my friends, I have friends who were Christian, and you go, you go to church and the pastor does a sermon, and sometimes after the sermon you go up to him like, what the hell was that about? That come on, like then you sit there and talk with him. So obviously and the evangelicals have heard way crazier shit than that. Yeah, and then afterwards you hang out with a guy and go, Were you really serious about, come on, man? Like that, so it's just people getting together and checking in. That's all it is.
Yeah, but some check in and have more fun than others. We have to be honest about what's happening.
I had the sleepiest rabbis in the world, just like barely getting through the Torah.
Oh my God. Andy Kindler does that great bit about it. He goes, my rabbi, he almost looked like he didn't believe what he was saying. Like, he would go up there and go, the Lord our God, is one. Or, I don't know. And then he was just like, or not. I don't know. Like, he just so hilarious.
But it's funny that you say that, Meredith, I need to meet the LA Jews who are like warm and fun and loving life. Cause you know, growing up in New York, honey,
give me an Upper West Sider. Upper West Side, we're having fun. There are bagels. We're not scooping out the middle. We're living life, loving each other.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, here it's so, like, are you going to the right temple where you can network?
Oh, goodness gracious, no.
There are a lot of...
Come to our house for Passover.
Yes, okay, there's going to be... If there's, like, acting, and I won't be the youngest. When we were at Andy's parents the last Passover... I'm 37 and I was the youngest at the table and I had to find the Afikoman. It was
you
very
had to do
embarrassing.
The four questions.
Yeah. Yes. Just imagine like 30 elderly Jews and then us.
And then they were like, Naomi, you gotta find it. And it actually took me too long. Like I was like, I was like, I'm too old for this to take more than 2 minutes. And
right.
I legit could not find it.
I'm too old for this shtick. All right, sorry.
Still got it, Patton. You still got
Thank
it.
Thank you.
We're here with Sid Caesar and Meredith Salinger.
Mm-hmm.
So we get questions from many different places, from Instagram and Twitter, and people Gmail us, and people send us voicemails. That's, of course, our favorite. Naomi, what's the phone number if people want to send a voicemail?
323-524-7839. You know I love your voicemails because I can hear where you're at emotionally, and that helps us help you. So think about it. There's a three-minute limit, you guys. So if you can't keep to 3 minutes, you better go back to the drawing board.
All right. So this first one is a voicemail.
Hi, Naomi and Andy and your lovely guest. You can call me Ophelia. I'm calling because I have a family dilemma. So there is a graduation coming up for one of my sister's kids. Well, actually two of them. They're twins. And it'll be our first big family gathering since the pandemic started. The only thing is my sister doesn't believe in the vaccine. And she doesn't believe in the testing that's happened, and she wants us to come and stay in her house. And, well, during this whole thing, I've kind of been diagnosed with panic disorder, especially in crowded places. And there are a total of 12 of us in her house. She has 5 kids, and it's her and her husband. On top of that, we have nowhere to house our dog, who is super, super reactive. Nobody but my boyfriend and one of our other cousins can watch her, so we're super stressed about that. And I'm just having a hard time dealing with the fact that I decided not to go, so did my other sibling who lives here at home. We're all vaccinated here, there's 4 of us. And our oldest sister is having a really hard time dealing with it, and so are we. I feel like I'm being kind of crazy, but I feel like I'm not, because it's a little stressful for me to be in a room full of people in a state that doesn't believe in science. I'm not naming the state in case my sister listens. Okay, thanks so much for your help. I hope I actually said everything I remember. Okay, bye.
Well, what was the question? It sounds like she's doing good.
I think we're here to absolve her.
Oh, okay, I'm not, I'm choosing
I
not
think,
to come.
I mean,
she feels bad about it. Her sister also feels bad that she didn't come. And yeah, we're here to absolve her, to say, hey, you followed your heart and what you need to feel okay. And if your sister can't understand your concerns and worries about your dog and your mental health and your physical health, that she has to, yes, she's mad you didn't go. Okay, that's sad. You weren't at a family gathering, but she has to honor your inner feelings about things. It cannot be painful or scary for you to do something to make someone else happy. And you probably wanted to make her happy, but it was too much for you and you honored your boundary and you protected yourself and you are okay.
Mm-hmm. I need to make that a ringtone. I need that all day, every day, Meredith.
I need to agree with that 1,000%. And I'm actually kind of pissed. I think that not only did she do the right thing, I don't think her sister followed her feelings. I think her sister followed whatever she heard on the internet and was not. I have zero patience for anti-vaxxers, and I don't even have a panic disorder, and I have zero patience for people who, when they gather family together, don't do whatever you got to do to not have 80 people crammed into a little house. That is something I've always hated. If I'm going to go on a vacation somewhere, it is for rest and relaxation.
Yes.
And if I'm going to go somewhere and be piled up on top of all these other people, then I come home 10 times as torqued up as when I left. There's no point in that. And I've never understood that impulse.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. We're all gonna get a house. There are only four beds, but there are 20 of us.
We're not doing that. Then I'm not gonna go. And I've been in those situations where I didn't speak up, and I've ended up in a house with 25 people and three bedrooms. And not only was there, are we piled on top? There's nowhere to escape during the day or night. Like if I want to go be alone, there's nowhere to be alone, and everyone starts going crazy.
Yeah, it's like House Hunters International. They always want a guest room. They always get the smallest apartment in, you know, the rural area of Germany. And they always wanted to have a guest room so that their family can visit. And I'm like, why do you want your family in this tiny place with you in this foreign country?
Yeah.
Get the hotel room.
Yeah.
If you're get a hotel room. Everyone's an adult. Get a hotel room.
Yeah, I know.
Save money on that extra bedroom on your rent.
Thank you.
And use it for the one or two times your parents come to visit.
The one or two times. Exactly. Like, that's right. What it is too, right? Because I like to yell, like, honey, if you had friends willing to visit you, like, across the world, you wouldn't be moving from wherever you actually live now. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have the relationships you think you have. Not that many people will be coming to visit you, especially if you move someplace that's, like, not, like, you know, unless it's Paris or London.
Yeah, no one's coming to Frankfurt. Sorry. Sorry, Frankfurt. Yeah.
That girl could not have been more in the right for not going.
She feels bad because she has a good heart. She doesn't want to hurt her sister. And she knows that her not being there made her sister feel sad. But if she could have open communication and say, I love you. I'd love to be there for this. The scenario with which this is occurring is too much for me, though.
Yeah.
And then I hope you understand my feelings.
Yeah.
If they could communicate.
Well, it's also like the sister who does not believe in the vaccine but wants to get people together. Where is her, what's the word? Where's her compromising? You know what I mean? Like, okay, you want to pretend there this is not real. I can't change that, even though I wish I could and I would strangle you. Then we're having an outdoor gathering, like in a park with 10 people for an afternoon. Yeah. Like, that's how, if you insist on living this life, then you have to pivot and not put 12 people in your house.
Oh my God, you're right. It's like, not only do I not believe in what you believe in, I'm going to double down on what makes you uncomfortable.
That's the thing. Because like, there is no compromise. If you are anti-vax already, if you are already like doing that, or you believe that, or you're ideologically directed towards that, you're a rugged individual. You're a real American, and everyone has to do the thing I do. There is no such thing as compromise.
So
it's already inbuilt into that kind of like ideological profile
that you are not gonna. Yeah,
that like which is insane to me. It's like, all right, if you are an individual, then you should respect other people's individuality as well, right? But that's never what it is.
But also,
never.
If you're an individual, you should go be by yourself. If you don't care about anybody else, get yourself a nice little island and call it a damn day.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
insist.
Yeah, yeah. Ted insist. Kaczynski did it. Why can't you?
No, go ahead, Mary.
Cute how Naomi laughs at your jokes. Patton, do I ever laugh at your jokes?
Yes, you do. Stop it. But some days you've heard too many of them. You're like, oh, God. Here it goes.
Patton, was there any kind of service? Was there any, like, when you did not, your Trumpy relatives, when you did not invite them, or when you maybe like to even stop talking to them in general, was there any kind of like, either on your end, was there any kind of like feeling like, maybe I should like reach out some more? Or did
no,
they
and
care?
In fact, when the first time I got married, my mom, who had been estranged from one of her brothers, who really was treating her badly at the time, she was like, maybe I could invite him to your wedding. This guy's just this lazy slob that would have been like, you know, I'd love to get flown out to Hollywood and see some stars, because she was thinking maybe I can repair this bridge, and I understand that impulse, but I'm like, you're gonna spend money and hassle to bring someone out that's gonna make your day. You're watching your son get married, like, he's gonna ruin your day. It's gonna be for naught, and it's also gonna ruin my day because I'm gonna be worried about you and him treating you like crap. So I was the one who told her, he's not coming. He's uninvited. Do not tell him about this. He doesn't need to know. He's been miserable for the last 10 years to everybody. But he's also the kind of guy that he's just a total freeloader who'd be like, fly me out to Hollywood. I'll go. You're like, no, he doesn't get to do that after the way he's been treating you. He doesn't get that. And I just sit and explain that to her, and she was really, again, I totally understand her impulse, but then afterwards she felt great. She was like, oh, you know what? That I'm glad that we didn't bring him out. I got to have a nice day.
Right, right. You can like do the repairing another time. Like that's not exactly, what the event is for.
Yeah,
Patton is very good with honoring his feelings. Like the girl who didn't go to her sister's thing.
Yeah.
He too is like, this is too much for me. I need my own space. I need my own time. I don't want that person here. I don't want to go. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's very much aware of his inner feelings, and he's not ashamed or afraid to say, I'm good. I have to go. I've had enough. Yeah. I'm done. All that.
But by the way, that comes from years of me not doing that and then paying the price for it and then remembering that resentment later going, all I had to do was just go, no, thank you. I don't want to go do this. That's all I had to do. And everyone would have been happy.
Right. Because you wouldn't have been there sulking in the corner.
I wouldn't. Exactly. I wouldn't have been there giving off this shitty energy. It's like, just don't invite me to you know I hate this.
Ugh. But Meredith, though, you say Patton's really good about that. You also seem like someone who's very good about that. Like, it was so funny, before we started recording, I'm telling the listener, you know, Andy was kind of like, do you mind recording your side? And, you know, like, whatever. And Meredith was just like, Andrew. She didn't say Andrew. But she did be like, Andy, if this is what you need us to do, just tell us this is what you need us to do. And we are, and like, so just that to me is like, a part, like, you're someone who is like, say what you need. Say it clear. Keep it simple. And were you always like that, Meredith?
I think so. I think I'm very, I think it comes off aggressive to people sometimes. I think I come off aggressive, perhaps. But really, I'm just like, let's just get this shit done. Let's do it the right way. Let's do it the best way. And let's just do it and move on. You don't need to give me a backstory of any reason why you need something. What did I do? I can't remember. I'm having something happen yesterday and I can't remember. Oh, anyway, delete that part. Great story, but can't remember it.
That energy. Like, I wish I had that energy. I wish I was able. I like waver in and out. If I'm feeling very confident, I can do it. But I have to like have gone like I like something good just had to happen to me for me to be able to like I have to like steal the energy. I have to.
But also keep
suck
in mind,
it out. I like a vampire, suck it out of someone else.
You guys are young. You're still young. You got to get to you'll get to a point where you're like, yeah, I don't need to do that. Like, and it won't even be in a defiant way. Just like I'm just not going. Sorry, not doing that.
Well, it's funny. I think I'm better with friends. I can kind of figure that out. But I do think out in the world, because I think one of the things that kind of got socialized into me or out of me, I'm always worried about coming off as an angry black woman. So I don't like
Oh my God, me too. Oh my God.
I just have to say, Naomi, my favorite compliment I've ever received in my life came from you before we started recording. You said I was a strong black woman. I'm like, hell fucking yeah, I am.
I know, but I'm saying like, that's what I wish though, this idea you could be like, hey, we just doing this, like this is the situation. But I think like I grew up in like, you know, because I went to private school, mostly like white people, rich people, and it was very like, oh, she's upset or she's whatever. And I think also I was just a very emotional and dramatic kid anyway. But it was also on top of that, like, even when I wasn't angry, people were like, are you mad? And it's like, no, I'm tired. But it was like, never.
I hate that stereotype. I fucking hate that.
I know. Yeah. So I think
that's what people go to. No, I'm a confident woman who knows what she wants, motherfucker. I'm not angry. You're bothering me and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Let's get this shit done.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
Is that my motto of life is let's get this shit done?
Let's get this over with. It's a great life motto. Let's just get all this over with.
Let's get this shit done.
Let's get this shit behind us. God, please.
I just want to clip this section out, and then when we have to do the invitations for the wedding, just listen to it on a loop.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
This one comes to us from Gmail.
Okay.
Mrs. Spencer Reed, which is an alias.
That's also the name of a character from Criminal Minds. So this person is already after my own heart. This character is already my favorite.
Which character is it?
The person writing is a character.
No. What character?
Oh, he's like the nerdy genius guy. Who plays him? I don't remember the guy's name. I just know his name is Spencer Reed.
Okay. Subject: my in-laws are going to overrun our home with quote-unquote word art. Dear, I want
home sweet home.
Live, laugh, love.
I didn't listen.
Live, laugh, love.
I listened to enough of the voicemails because I want to be surprised to, as well. I listened to enough just to get what the subject is. So I want to follow what I thought was going to be very serious. I want to follow it up with something a little less serious. After a lifetime of apartment living, my husband and I are planning on buying a house soon. While I am very excited and also afraid, who will hear my screams?
I understand. This person watches Scribble Minds. I understand.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I am hoping to get advice on how to avoid the inevitable. My in-laws gifting us a ton of word art decor. I'm not just talking about my husband's parents. This is his whole extended family. I think it's safe to say there will be multiple items with the classic live, laugh, love, right, but also signs that are just state the name of the room or what you do there, like eat or laundry, and so much more. Not only do these types of items make up the majority of all their home decorations, but their close family friends also run a small business creating this stuff.
Oh, God, no.
Yes. When I realized they wouldn't be coming by our apartment anytime soon because of Quar, I finally tossed the spoon rest.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. make the perfect mix.
That's what it says. So it's basically a thing you put your spoon on, like when you're cooking, so that you don't get sauces and stuff all over the stove.
I see. Yes.
Yeah, no, we don't live that way, but no, it's very home goods.
I get sauces everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. And I finally tossed the spoon rest, and I found a way to fold the kitchen towel so you can't see what they say. I cook, you clean.
That's what the towels say.
Ah, yes. Oh, I love things that reify gender norms. But I really do not want to have to pretend like any more of this.
To pretend to like any more
of this stuff. And I don't know how to ask them not to give us any more without insulting their style. They live fairly close, and I don't want a lifetime of swapping out all my pillows, etc. every time one of them is coming by. They are all very nice and well-meaning, and I don't think anyone would listen if we ask for no housewarming gifts. Is there anything we can say that wouldn't seem rude or ungrateful? Thanks for all you do. I hope Mabel will be ready to take on the stairs soon. That's our dog, Mabel, who is undergoing chemo.
Oh, man, that's a good question. That is a good question.
Right. Yeah, how are you not sure mean? Is. Yeah, how are you not mean, but also like, please don't give me these things.
I have gotten so many pieces of art and or sculptures or things that are so not my style. Mm-hmm. And I think at a certain point you say, I know you're probably going to want to give me a present for this. And I'm not asking for a present. Please, you don't have to get me anything. But if you ever do, I have such a weird sense of style that I am the only one who can choose like the art for my house or the fabrics for my house. And I know people are trying to be so lovely by giving stuff, but like my sense of style is so unique. The only things I can put up are the things that I've chosen, like on a trip or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Make it about you. Like, it's like, this is my thing. So you're not saying those things are hideous.
Yeah.
You're saying my thing is like, I need to pick it.
Yeah, it also comes down to like, I have to live in this house every day and I need things visually that inspire me or comfort me. So I can't decorate my house for your feelings when you're going to drop by twice a year. That's pointless. I'm sorry.
Well, that's kind of harsh.
No, but I'm not going to say it. Obviously don't say it, but that's how you need to justify it to yourself. Like, I'm the one who has to.
Well, you know what? You blame it on the other spouse, maybe. You say, my husband has such a unique sense of style. I know you want to do this, but he hates this shit.
But he's the one who's related to them. So he needs to be him, right? Like, he needs to be the one, the spouse. Yeah, the husband needs to go to his family and be like, guys,
and
we don't want
to. And say, my wife has such a specific style, and everything in the house she wants to have picked, everything on the walls, it has to be hers, because if it's anyone else's, it gets into her ruins her flow.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, she's really into feng shui and we cannot ruin her flow. I think that's what he should just say. Because it's like, it is really hard. I mean,
sorry, I'm looking over to like our mantle and I'm like, I think it's a pretty good, like we haven't.
Well, that's all your stuff. And I'm not decorator.
It is all my stuff. So that's
I'm
probably
not a
why
big
okay
decorator at all. Like, I like it. If I go into a house and I see, I'm like, oh yeah, I love that. But in my own home, I don't really know where to begin. I don't know like what should go
right,
where.
Right.
So I just like kind of
what
never
happens
really
if somebody
it.
Gives you like, okay, they gave you a huge live, love, laugh sign. And there's like an empty wall and they're like, this would be great there. And then you're like, thank you. Right. Then what do you do? Well,
that's where my passive aggressiveness comes, where I go, oh, thank you so much. And then I throw it out. Like, yeah. I don't know what else to do. Like, there's just so, like, you know, we have like a 2-bedroom apartment. Like, there's just not enough room for detritus.
For extra crap. Yeah.
We have a lot of blank walls, and everywhere I've lived, there's always been blank walls, because unless I find the perfect thing, I'd rather not hang something there. And I've had people give me gifts, like you said, going, well, that wall's been blank for all. That'd be great up there. And I'm like, not what you bought me. No. Like I mean, I won't say it that way, but like you said, then I'll just quietly throw it away. Like, I don't need to
answer
them. Yeah,
we've lived in this house for almost 4 years we've lived here, and a decorator was trying to help us, and she's like, I can put something here. I'm like, I don't want your... I want to walk around with my husband somewhere and walk into a little art store and be like, that's cool. We should put that up. And then we picked it together, and it has like meaning for us. So I'd rather the wall be blank than have something that I don't like.
In fact,
if you can see behind me,
this is my office. Your wall, though, because it's like a dark blue, like kind of a blue-gray color behind you on that wall. To me,
it is.
I need. To me, that's like a touch. I was like, that's style.
What about a mural of Nightcrawler kissing Gambit?
Think about that. Think about that for that
Think
whole
about
wall.
It. Think about it.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, Patton actually got me art for one of my birthdays. He had it commissioned.
Oh, that's right. And you weren't
crazy
about
it. And I didn't like it.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And I felt so bad because he's the most thoughtful husband in the world. Like, nobody is more thoughtful than Patton. He just... You're the best husband in the world, and the worst thing is if you give me something I don't like, but I know how much thought you put into it, it like kills me because I'm like, you're the greatest. I love you so much. This is the best gift ever. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
But I love you, and I love the whole idea that you did to create it. All of that is amazing, but the actual drawing of it, I don't personally like, but I love everything else.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yep. The first birthday we were together for Naomi. Naomi likes zombies. And so, and I think we had been
just
watching.
In general, all zombie like content.
She likes zombie
movies,
stuff.
Like, yeah.
Sure.
Like Shaun of the Dead was one of the movies like we watched.
Oh,
like,
we love that movie.
Bonded over.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Right.
Favorite.
Yeah. And I think we had been watching The Walking Dead together.
Yes, we had been watching
that
it.
That was like,
yeah, yeah.
Like a
season
couple
one.
Show.
Our relationship season one. Was season one.
So I got her a compendium of the first 50 issues. Of the Walking Dead.
Yeah, the comic.
Like
those really nice hardbound slipcover editions. They're great. I've seen them. The omnibus editions, as they call them.
Yes, omnibus. She hated it. Hated it. Immediately saw.
Why?
I don't know how to read comic book bubbles. I don't know what order to go in. I find the story to be slim. I was like, what am I going to do with this?
Naomi, same. Same.
Oh, Meredith, yes. Thank you.
Oh, my God. The very first gift Patton ever gave me on our very first date, he brought, which is so weird that he gave me this. But anyway, he gave me a edition of The Sandman graphic novel by Neil Gaiman, who's amazing, amazing. But I had to like lay in bed with him reading it to me, like pointing and I was a child and he was reading it to me, which made it so much more interesting.
Yeah, that's like romantic.
Him reading it to me because me reading it was very, where am I? What is this? I'm so confused.
Exactly. I was like, or like, it looks cool, but I'll be like, wait, what was the story? Wait, was that the story? Like, I feel like
every episode of a comic book.
Every issue is like just so slim and that I'm like, again, the compendium is the right way to go because it's enough story, but it just feels like, wait a minute.
You're talking about American decompressed. You need maybe like British compressed kind of storytelling, I think, for your...
I just can't have it like where it's like literally you open it and the page is just like one person kicking, like a whole spread is like one person kicking another. And then there's like one little bubble. And I'm like, what? This is a waste of paper. Sometimes it just feels like there's not enough happening for me. And so it was terrible because like it was a nice gift. And I think at the time too, you might have been unemployed. So like you just spending any money.
Aww.
It was like on this where I was like, oh, I know this is such a sweet gift, and I totally get where he was coming from with it. But I was like,
I wish that had been your reaction.
No, I wasn't mean.
I wasn't
like
she was.
I remember
just not
opening
enthused.
It because also it was heavy as hell. So I was like, ooh, what is this? And then I opened it and was like, ow! Like I was in my upper register. I was
Patton. Patton gave me a gift and I opened it and my first thing was no.
Yeah, she went no.
Do you remember that? I said no. I went no. It was horrible.
Patton, what did you? How did you handle it? What did you feel? I mean, especially like
he felt terrible.
I know.
I actually felt pretty bad. I was like, could you at least have? There's a way to ease into it. You know what I mean? Rather than to just go, like it was that weird, you know, like maybe a little, you're an actress. How about some acting, you know, soften the blow a little bit. Anyway, but yeah.
I was like, no.
Yeah. But you guys obviously worked through it. Like, cause I mean, that was first date where it's like, I feel like it was first, even though you guys have been talking for a while, right? So it was like after a couple months of talking.
Oh no, I didn't say no on that. No, I didn't say that one. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Read it to me.
Okay.
And, but like last year for my birthday recently, he gave me this new gift recently. Right. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh yeah. But your love is strong now. So you can like do that. Right. You can be like,
our love is strong always.
Our love is strong.
So, wasn't this just delightfully true?
I am like, look, yes, this is very delightful. No, I was just going to gush for a little while, but I'll save that.
No, gush, but I want to gush first. Naomi, you're fucking cool. I like you.
There it is. I like you. Can we please hang out?
Can we? I was going to say, can we hang out? You seem like I'm much older than you, but I'm so young at heart.
Doubt it.
You will love to hang out.
Also, like, honestly, like, you are just like coming through with a glowing skin, giving me energy and vibes. I worry our dynamic might become one where you're talking to me off a ledge a lot. So I don't want us to do that. I want to make sure we really get some equal footing in the friendship.
You feel like my kind of girl, and I like you.
You're a real one. You're a real one. And that's what we're sensing in each other.
Naomi, yeah.
Now,
and
two
I would,
strong black women married to two
sweet Jewish men.
White boys.
Jewish men,
anyway. And Naomi, may I say, not a fan, but I love being on your podcast. So thank you.
Wonderful. But now, Andy, now you and Patton set it up. Now you guys hang out cross-promotionally.
And Patton doesn't like to have friends.
I know. Socialize.
He doesn't socialize.
I'll send you a DM in a year where you talk about, did Jonathan Hickman pull off the new X-Men? Did he pull it off or not? We'll talk at the end of it.
Well, you know who, I don't know if you noticed who got an invite to the Hellfire Gala this year.
I did. I saw you guys in there.
What?
You guys, Paul Scheer.
Do you know what that means, Naomi?
Jason Mantzoukas.
Well, I think he told me at the time. So that's like how I knew. You know what I mean? Like, not off the, like, I wouldn't have if I didn't already have the backstory.
That's my goal, is to become friends with, I have some friends in the comics industry, but where an artist draws us into a comic book.
Shows up somewhere. Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on the cover of a comic. Someone else did a whole comic thing.
And that's right.
Drew me as the comic book cover.
What comic
girl?
Ooh, are you a superhero?
No. Just
she was herself. Making a cameo as herself, encountering the other hero. It was really interesting.
Oh my god, that's even better.
And then I was also drawn on the. I did an episode of Tales from the Crypt, and at the beginning of all those episodes, they do like a comic book page, and I was on the the front of the comic book.
Okay,
for the
now
Tales
that's
from the Crypt
what
thing.
You need to put on the wall behind you.
Yes, the Crypt.
Find that
Tales
drawing.
From the Crypt. Comic? Yeah, put that big page in your
Meredith,
office.
What's the Crypt Keeper really like? Why did I suddenly turn into Jiminy Glick?
No, that was good, though. I like it. I love it.
What's he like? He's a corpse, but he makes jokes, and what is that about? It's crazy.
Patton, you're good.
That was good, Jiminy Glick, and honestly, Glick's one of my favorite characters. Not afraid to admit it. I saw Martin Short on Broadway, okay? On Broadway.
Okay.
Oh, I'll chase him. When he was, like,
he's
doing the characters,
so funny.
Not... And it was, like... Jiminy Glick, of course, comes out, and I think he, like, interviewed someone in the audience. You know, like, that was what he did with that character, and it was delightful.
We should probably end this.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for being on the show. You guys are the best. Meredith will go get some milkshakes.
Yes.
Yes, girl. It was so lovely to meet both of you. You're an adorable couple.
Thank you. You're an adorable couple, you two. You guys probably love each other. You're always loving up each other on like, socials and stuff and being like, my man, and then you do heart emojis.
She's very lovable. It's very easy to do that. So.
Very lovable. Okay. I love you guys the best. See you later.
I love you even more.
Love you, too.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.